It's show 600, and it's Monday, August 9th. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a prominent tech podcast network. Yes, we're here at show 600. Got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Well, here we are, folks, show 600. My goodness, it's only taken us 6 years to get here. but wow. Hey, I've got some great stuff to cover today. We're going to do a little looking back at where the show has been. And really, we don't need to look forward where we're going because we know where we're going. But hey, everyone, thanks. Thanks for coming out. And of course, all of you that are part of the Ohana, those of you that have been here since day one, from show number one back October 9th of 2004. Hey, you made it all the way to 600, and I hope that, I know there's a number of you that have listened to every single show, and for those that you have, you know, you all deserve a medal, and thanks for being subscribed. And of course, if you're part of the Ohana, a longtime listener of the show, thanks for being part of the family here. Really, the Ohana is what really makes this show really kind of tick, and it's the glue that's held it together from day one, you know, from the very start. From the very first time that I put on the 995 laptop headset and recorded into, didn't even really know what I was doing, my goal was for the show to always be about a conversation. It was going to be about a conversation with you, and really it was more of a kind of a, like one-on-one talk. So when I'm doing the show, even though I know we're reaching massive numbers of people, and I always try to personalize the show and really direct it as if you and I were having a conversation, although obviously we're not, but that's the way I try to kind of to style the show and have from the very beginning. You know, the format over the past 6 years really hasn't changed that much. We kind of got settled in on a format, and we've tweaked it here or there a number of times. And, you know, I did a call out for all of you to send in suggestions on what you would change with the show. Here are the entries. Would you believe that we had three emails for people that said, this is what I want to change? Now, you guys know that this audience, audio portion of this audience, is reaching well over 125,000 people twice a week. And to think that we only got three emails from folks saying, this is what you should change, and really wasn't a lot of big suggestions, I think speaks for itself that the show format is pretty dialed in, and you guys are pretty happy with it. And I'm just, you know, I've done this before, and I was expecting 40, 50, 100, 200, you know, emails to come in, and really there was three. And to me, that just shows that I think we're firing on all cylinders here. And there's a few good things here. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But, you know, someone that's new to the show may, they only sent three in. Well, I think it's pretty remarkable with the size of the audience that really only three people said, Todd, this is what should change. And some things are recurring themes that go on that we continue to have to battle with. But I'm stoked. I really am. And it really doesn't make it hard to give prizes out. So we're going to give prizes to Sam, to TM Brown. We're going to give prizes to Chris. So all three of you guys are going to get some prizes. And, you know, what a better way to do it, right? Now, if there had been 300 people that had sent in entries, we wouldn't have had to gone that far. So pretty cool. And welcome to the show, everybody. And And we'll just continue on here, I guess, doing what we're going to do. And I'll get into the rest of the show format first. But if you're a new listener to the show, wow, what a show to tune into. The show's now reaching, I think I looked at it yesterday to do a recount, just to do a reset. We're about in 170 countries worldwide. And that number is increasing slowly. I think we went from 165 to 170 in the last 6 months, but still 170 shows that are downloading the show. The UK being one of the number one basically foreign destination, of course. And I think that has a lot to do with obviously English speakers, so it kind of crosses. But 170 countries worldwide. And many of you are signed up for the newsletter. I want to make sure that you do. So I'll give you an opportunity to really, when you come over to geeknewscentral.com, you'll find the link to the newsletter. Click on that. Get signed up. That way you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. I'm starting to get a lot more email from folks that are watching us on the Roku. And even a few now from folks that are actually tuning in via Boxy. So, and I got a truck going by. You guys hear that in the background? That's the thing about doing a show in the daytime here in Honolulu. I've got the house opened up so I can hear all the traffic going by, and so can you through the mic. But really, far as the Roku and Boxy folks, thanks for watching the show. I definitely appreciate your continued consideration. The numbers continue to climb day after day. And of course, the audio audience remains a big percentage of the listening audience, obviously. But thanks for those of you that are tuning in, whichever way you tune in, either via your mobile device, you're downloading it via iTunes, you're getting it via the Zune Marketplace, you're doing it through an app. BlackBerry listeners are huge on the show right now. Matter of fact, they were the number one growth spot for the show in 2009. So, you know, this is all kind of different ways to consume the content. The main thing is that you're here. If you're watching us on Justin.tv, this is the third time we've streamed on Justin. Normally, we are placeholders over on Ustream, and usually I stream the show really late at night here in Honolulu. I start the show about 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time normally and go for an hour and a half or hour and 15 minutes. But today, I have to get on an airplane. I'm heading towards the West Coast this evening, so I needed to do the show early and wanted to knock 600 out and not miss the normal show day. So very, kind of rare. We've done 3 day shows this month, which is kind of odd for me because I have to kind of reconfigure the studio a little bit to get the light levels from outside down where I normally don't have to worry about that. So when you get signed up for the newsletter, subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode ever. And of course, all of this would not be possible without our sponsors here. We want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor on the show. And really, they are the ones that really solidified that it was possible to make a full-time living with a podcast. They came in as a sponsor in the show June of 2005. They have been a sponsor continuously since then. You have continued to basically go out and buy their products. We're introducing new customers to their company. GoDaddy needs to be given a huge pat on the back and being accolades for being here really since the beginning and continuing to understand the importance of advertising in this space. We definitely appreciate them, and we hope that as you consider your domain names, domain needs, hosting accounts, whatever it may be when they're getting in the online world, that you consider GoDaddy. I use the products here. Geek News Central is run on a GoDaddy dedicated server. Matter of fact, I have two dedicated servers that I'm using for the show and for some of the backup stuff. And my company, Raw Voice, uses a large number of GoDaddy servers as well. I have well over 230 domains registered at GoDaddy.com, and I use a variety of their services. And you can believe me, I use all of my promo codes myself, too, to save money. And that's really the big enhancement about listening to this show, too, is that I have a direct line to the top. So if you've got a problem with a GoDaddy product or service that you have purchased using one of my promo codes and you're having an issue getting it resolved, all you got to do is email me. And believe me, throughout the years, we've had a number of incidents happen where someone didn't get good tech support, whatever it may be. And it hasn't been a lot. I think we probably counted on two hands over 5 years. I blast the email to a very high level person, very, very high level person at GoDaddy, and it's always been handled. And so that's the important thing here. When you consider purchasing a product, don't forget my promo code TODD. That'll save you 10%. That's Todd. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd 20 will save you 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. A lot of other codes that Geek199. If you're a new customer, GoDaddy, and get .com domains, Geek199, $1.99.com domain names. And really, you can't get that price anytime else. Okay, Geek199 is a code for new customers only, all right? Well, let's back up here a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about show milestones and where we have come. And you guys got to understand, those of you that haven't been with the show for a long time or those that you have, really the origins of this show really originated in a hotel in Texas. And, you know, Texas, and it's kind of ironic because the number one audience in the United States for this show is in Texas. And I don't know if there's some sort of, you know, quasi, I don't know how that ended up being, because obviously there's much more tech consumer, you would think, out of California, maybe New York, but Texas is really the home of the biggest portion of this audience. And, you know, it beats out the states by a few percentage points by other states. But in June of 2004, matter of fact, on June 2nd of 2004, when I got hurt overseas while I was active duty military and spent 13 days in the hospital, really what that did was I was very, very lucky. I was what the doctors called, I think, a 2 or 3 percenter. In other words, 97% of the people that suffered the spine injury that I suffered don't walk, they roll. And I would have been, it was my L1 vertebrae that was severely damaged, a burst compression fracture. I had 70% displacement of my spinal cord. And really the only thing that saved me was the bone fragment that displaced my spinal cord. I got the back side of the knife instead of the front side of the knife. In other words, a bone fragment that came out was not the sharp edge. And I was in Bahrain. I spent 13 days in the hospital there. Got home. My wife thought I was going to be, you know, she just didn't believe I was going to walk until I walked through customs. And to much to her relief, you know, we've recovered and went from there. But the Navy, essentially, because I could not fly anymore, to make myself useful and make sure that I wasn't going to be affected medically, I basically said, you know, send me where you need to send me. I'll go and do what I got to do. And they sent me to Texas after I went through my initial rehab. They sent me to Texas to babysit some airplanes. And so I'm sitting in a hotel room. Really, I'm still wearing that that clamshell that I was wearing. And there's some funny stories about that. But anyway, I'm wearing this clamshell and nothing to do. Really couldn't have, I didn't have a lot of mobility and I didn't want to spend a lot of time on my feet. So it wasn't like I was out crowding around. So I'm staying in a hotel room and I'm hearing about this new thing called podcasting. And I got really excited by listening to one of Dave Weiner's shows, and the rest was history. I ran across the street, literally from the Hampton Inn off of I-35, went right across the street to Walmart, picked up a laptop headset, and the first three shows at Geek News Central was done really on a, you know, a $4.95 or $6.95 headset. I laugh about that, but that's really what happened. And I made all the mistakes. I played music that I wasn't supposed to play. I did, you know, it was bad. And really, probably the first 50 to 100 shows, in even comparison to what the show is today, there's no comparison. I listened to some of those early shows and I just cringe, you know. But at this point, you really can't get from there to here without doing 600 shows. It really boils down to that. That's the only way you get there from here. So in more ways than one, there were some things that fell in my lap. And one thing that happened was my wife told me, she said, honey, you know, you've done some crazy things in the past as far as business deals, and none of them really made too much money. Or it's been like a hobby more than a business. She says, I'm giving you 2 years. I'm giving you 2 years to figure this out to make money. And if it's not making money after 2 years, we're going to have a discussion. Because really, it was taking a lot of time. And, you know, I really hadn't revolved the process. But from her and I's discussion from that, that really drove my philosophy on how to produce the show. Even today, when I get done hitting record at the end of this show today, what it is, it is. And I just go ahead and boom, I put it in MP3 format. I'll drop the video into the format it needs to be in, and I'm done. I'm done editing. There is no editing, and I've never edited. Well, I shouldn't say that. I've edited here and there. Once in a while, when I've done something really, really bad, I've edited something, but very rarely. I mean, maybe one out of 100 shows has got an edit mark in it. So anyway, that was the philosophy, is, you know, get in, get it done, get out. And that way, so it wouldn't impact the family time. And so all the gear that I bought over the years has been really based upon production, and the process of getting things done quickly and not impacting my family. So right now, the show processed four and a half hours to get everything done, from the time I start looking up articles to the time I'm done and it's posted online. And it's extended a little bit now, maybe 30 to 40 minutes because we're doing the video part. But it's well worth the payoff of what that is producing, since we've introduced video about a year ago. But anyway, when started with the first show and grown to what we've grown to today, it didn't come easily, but I did get help. You know, obviously the book deal, when I was called by Wiley Publishing in December of 2004, and basically said, Todd, we want you to do a book deal. And my reply was not child safe. I basically said, you've got to be beep and kidding me. And they said, no, we're not beep and kidding you. We want you to write a book. And from that 90 days, really, I did the outline, started writing the book in, I believe, January 13th or something like that. And in 90 days, the book was done. And it was on the street in May. Now, obviously, that helped. That helped the show a lot. Well, until I announced the book deal, and then I lost 25 or 30% of you. You all went away, or they went away because they were jealous or whatever it was. But we've talked about that in the past. We don't need to reiterate that. But really, we are flying by the seat of our pants back then. We didn't have unlimited bandwidth. I was moving the show around from different servers from show to show because the bandwidth, I was using 500 gigs to move the show even then per show. So I would burn all the bandwidth on a shared hosting account. I'd move it to the next shared hosting account for the next show. Move until we got back. That's one of the reasons why I did 8 shows in a month, because I had 8 shared hosting accounts where I spread this thing around to, you know, basically get it delivered. And so, you know, we really were really flying by the seat of our pants, and really the realization that this could be much more is when GoDaddy came calling in June of 2005. And, you know, largely it was because I slammed them earlier in the year based on experience I had with them. And they really came back and made it right before the deal. And I was really impressed. I said, this is a company that cares. And so when they came on and wanted to be a sponsor, I'm like, man, this is a company that reacts to issues, changed policy because I complained as an individual. They had no idea who I was at the time. And they came on as a sponsor. Well, shortly after that, Citrix came on as a sponsor in, I believe, July. And those two companies have been with us for 5 years. And their contribution, not contribution, their advertising dollars has really made it possible for a lot of things. And it can't be understated on how much really they have been essential overall to this community. So that's why I'm so emphatically behind those two companies when it comes to their products and services. I live and use their products day in and day out. So we hit show 100, September 18th of 2005. Show 200 was supposed to go down. You guys were anticipating show number 200. And on the day 200 was going to be produced was the day my father was killed in an automobile accident. And we end up really doing show 200 on show 201. Really, there was no show 200 per se. And so, you know, it's hard to believe that that is already 4 years. You know, we're almost at my dad's fourth year anniversary for his death. It just, where has the time gone, really? But, you know, you were here on that. It's the number one commented article on the entire site of Geek News Central was the outpouring of love from all of you when I did the announcement that there would be no show 200, that we would be back with you in a couple of weeks. And really, if you look at the show, 600 shows, that was the longest break that this show ever took. I took 10 days, I think. I took 10 days off and didn't produce a show for 10 days. But ever since then, I've been married, really, to this show, and it's been like milk and cows. You got to be here Monday, Thursday. My Mondays and Thursday have been written out, really, from now and until, you know, someday in the future when I never can do that, where I can't do this show anymore. And it's something, it's a fact of life. If there's something going on that has to go on a Monday, I'm not there. And same thing with a Thursday. But we try to schedule everything around those dates. Now, September 7th, 2007 was show 300. August 19th, 2008 was show 400. August 7th, 2009 was show 500. And here we are. We're again, August 9th, 2010, and we're at show 600. Now, let me throw some stats at you. There have been 31.5 days of content. So if you've listened for the entire time, if you've listened to every show, you've listened to me for 31 days talking. That's kind of scary. I haven't listened to a lot of people talk for 31 days straight. So if you've been here since show one, you've listened to me for 31 days. There's been 125 days of production. That's family sacrifice. Again, those Mondays and Thursdays completely gone. Sacrifice vacations. You guys know I think I've had one real vacation in 6 years. And here's the amazing part. I did pulled some numbers off our stat system. I did a little averaging. Hold on to your hat. Those of you that have listened to this show as a collective have listened for 93,750,000 hours. 93,750,000 listener hours. To me, that is absolutely insane. I would have never thought if when we started this in 2004 that at this point we would have over 93 million listener hours that have actually tuned into this show. This is based on, you know, pure downloads and averaging and everything else. So, you know, I'm sure there's probably a 10 million delta in there somewhere. Because it was a quick swag. 170 countries. Texas is the number one state for listeners. UK is the number two country for listeners. And here's something that really will make you really think. Based upon all my trips to CES, based on the equipment that I bought for the show, based on the new TriCaster that has been purchased for the TCX-D850, I've invested over $100,000 in equipment, travel, and time to do nothing but build this show over the past 6 years. Now, here's something even more crazy. So, okay, I've invested $100,000 in everything, right? And that's, you know, the upgrades and equipment, change out in cameras, new lights, you know, all this different stuff. And it adds up. If every listener of this show, if every listener of this show gave $2 a month, if every listener gave $2 a month, we could raise $3 million a year. Think about what I could do with $3 million a year. We could probably have 10 full-time productions. I probably could have 5, 6, 7, 8 staff people. I mean, we could really blow this thing out. But we have found that you guys are happy with the advertising, but not happy with donating. But just $2 a month for every listener, and we could raise $3 million. That's just a year. That's just insane, you know? And just to think, back in the beginning, show number one, 400 listeners. 400. And where we're at today, just crazy. It's absolutely insane. It really is. You know, and it, you know, I spent a lot of time on this, but, you know, show 600 is really my way to reflect and look back at where we've been over the past 599 shows. And, you know, what really was built from that was from this whole operation was I started Raw Voice, and the Raw Voice family started from this show. It started out with and I don't even know what episode it was, but I said, I'm looking for a lawyer. I'm looking for a business development guy. I'm looking for a programmer. And I didn't even say a graphics guy, but I think that came with the programmer. And those four of the five individuals that started Raw Voice are still with me. And we're a team. And we've done remarkable things. And really, we built Raw Voice out of the back of our pockets. We took no money from nobody. We put our own cash in the kitty. Sweat, blood, tears, hours upon hours, thousands of hours invested. And we built this into a organization that puts hundreds of thousands of dollars into podcasters' pockets every month. 5,800 shows is what we're out there working with. Five networks. the first one I kind of considered to be kind of like the experiment one, PCN. Remember that? Podcasternews.com? Still online. We don't talk a lot, but we still have a number of great shows over there that are producing. Second was techpodcast.com. That really came from the acquisition of techpodcast.com. Blueberry.com. ProMed Network. We actually have a partner agreement with ProMed Network, promednetwork.com. And travelcastnetwork.com. So really five networks. And here's the surprising part. We get very little credit for what we do. You would be surprised that in a year's time, we're writing these thousands of dollars worth of checks out to show producers. And not that I'm belittling them, but how many of you think ever say thank you? Handfuls. And we work like dogs for them. Obviously, we're a business, and we love them to have them as customers. But it's amazing, you know, that we get very little credit for what we accomplish. And we have other networks that we actually put advertising dollars into their networks, and they are not even affiliated with us. They have their own businesses. And so, honestly, all of this would not be possible without the sponsors. The sponsors, again, need endless thanks. My family eats. My house note is paid. I live in Hawaii. I live in a beautiful place that many, you know, never get to come to for vacation, largely because the sponsors allow me to do what I do with this show. And for that, I am eternally grateful. They would not be here, though, without you. And you are the glue that keeps this show going and the passion that keeps me cranking shows out. I get excited doing a show every time. There's no difference. There are times I'm tired, but boy, I got to crank it out, right? So even with the travel schedule, school, business, everything else, you know, you guys come first. You really do. You're my ohana. And from my heart, I just really, thanks for being here for 600 shows. That is ultimately the biggest thank you that I can give is just, you know, thank you. Thank you for being here over 600 shows. And we appreciate it. I and my family appreciate your continued support of the show. All right, enough reflecting. And I've burned 27 minutes here. You guys want to hear a little tech news? I'm sure some of you are like, yeah, let's get into some tech news. But thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana, really. All right, let's take care of the light bill. And I want to actually introduce you guys to a new sponsor of the show, Infusionsoft. You guys heard about this? And business owners, pay attention. By the end of this show today, 140 new small businesses will be created. By this time next year, half of those will have failed. Actually, it's higher than that. I think it's like 70%. But if you're a small business owner, you don't need statistics to understand how hard it is to survive and grow, especially in the face of daily challenges. Infusionsoft can help. Infusionsoft has helped thousands of truly small businesses grow quickly and profitably through the power of automated follow-up marketing. Infusionsoft can help you too. So if you're struggling to find a better way to grow your business, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go over to Infusionsoft, infusionsoft.com/pod1 to see it in action. It's going to take you to a landing page. It's going to ask for your name, your address, telephone number, contact email. You're going to submit that, watch a short video on their products and services, and see if this is a product or service that's for you. Give it a try, check them out, and let me know what you think about the Infusionsoft products and services. Give me some feedback on it. I went through their process, and matter of fact, did Saturday. And you're going to see some new things coming from this show via Infusionsoft to help with the marketing of Geek News Central. And I think they're a great fit for the show. And I think they're going to be a great fit for many of you that have small businesses. So thanks for Infusionsoft for being a new sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let me go ahead and get into content. We'll talk about Citrix a little later in the show. And let me load up stuff here. And I got a huge stack. All right, finally, BP has declared that the static kill cement plug is a success. And I think we all can go, it looks like it's all over. And they are going to continue to drill that relief well, probably so they can pump some oil out to pay their bill. But anyway, that is done. So we're now it's just cleanup time. Hey, Verizon today, there was a roadmap of what they're planning to do for the remainder of 2010 and 2011 kind of snuck out on the street. And if you're a Verizon customer, you're going to be kind of curious about it. Of course, we're expecting the iPhone maybe to be announced at CES. And of course, we'll have a team at CES 2011 again this year. But it's being said that in conjunction with Verizon, Motorola will launch a new Droid handset. It's called the Motorola Droid Pro. And it's supposed to have a 1.3 gigahertz CPU in it. With a 4-inch screen with global roaming capabilities, which is interesting. Again, estimated launch on that's November 2010. There's a whole bunch of stuff about Android handsets that they're going to be working on, so Android is definitely making a deep impact into Verizon. Samsung is working on a 7-inch screen Android tablet that will be interconnected to Verizon's wireless network. And also, there will be a Novatel LTE MiFi device available in January, February that apparently supports up to 10 simultaneous Wi-Fi users, again, on the LTE network that is to be launched here soon. There's a lot more stuff as well on this, so definitely check out Verizon Wireless. The article I'll have linked up in the show notes for you on what they're about ready to announce. The folks over at Engadget have a review on the Amazon Kindle DX. Now, if you remember, the DX is the big one. It's their big huge, humongous, bonkering e-reader. And they've got a pretty good review on this. And they say they like the feel of it. And it's got a lot of the standard Kindle features. But they like the font. They like the screen. So definitely check out the article over on Engadget on this. I'll have this linked up to you, of course, in the show notes. Another article over at Engadget today. Those of you that have AT&T U-verse, and I only know one person here in Hawaii that has that. Family friend of ours has, my wife's auntie has AT&T U-verse. But they've got an AT&T U-verse iPhone app. It's available to be able to download TV shows with remote DVR access. So basically, you'll be able to download stuff onto your iPhone and watch them basically on your mobile device. So those of you that have AT&T U-verse television service, you definitely want to check that out. That's available now in the App Store. This afternoon, Google and Verizon made an announcement. Of course, last week there was a big brouhaha over the supposed deal that Verizon and Google made together. Well, boy, I tell you, they must have worked all weekend to come up with this new statement. But they came out with a statement today and had a big press release about it. And really what they're saying, and this is the thing that should come as no surprise, is that Verizon has said that they want to make sure that the internet, the wired internet, remains free, open, and there's no, essentially, any channeling of special content or no prioritization of packets. And I think that the FCC should really be allowed to have some ruling over, basically some authority over that and the ability to fine people that violate it. But here's the interesting thing about this whole, basically, this proposal. It leaves out wireless. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, so they're going to make a policy on wired internet, but they're not going to go so far as to get into the wireless. And the question I'm thinking is, okay, what was this? Was this a concession by Google to, you know, for Verizon not to play tough ball with them? One can only surmise that this was part of their backdoor deal where they said, hey, we're going to leave wireless out of this, proposal for open internet. It says the competition's too great. There can't be really it's the space is in flux right now. Well, what it really means is these wireless providers want to remain in control and they don't want to have to give up. They don't want to have to open all their devices up. They don't want to have to open their networks up. They don't want to have to prioritize traffic or be limited to doing that. So one can only propose that that is the reason why this was left out of the conversation. Now, the folks over at searchengineland.com had a person, or actually maybe just reported on questions being asked at the press release or at the press event. And there was a number of questions asked talking about the different principles. So there is quite a few questions and responses to this policy, and it's going under a lot of scrutiny today. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot about this on the net. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to provide you a link to three or four articles that talk about the initial impressions of this policy announcement that's been released. And then I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on it. Of course, if you got feedback on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline, again, 619-342-7365. This next article almost fell out of my chair when I saw it. And, you know, Apple has been so, you know, they're so down on Flash. And, you know, they're all about controlling their formats. But today, the Sign, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Scene X Player, you can now watch Xvid movies on your iPad. So, you know, that's what it is. They're basically giving you instructions on how to transfer a .avi file. AVI, in other words, an Xvid video, one that's been encoded with that format, to transfer that via iTunes. And they go through some YouTube videos here on how to do that. So if you have .avi files encoded in the Xvid format, you're going to want to download the Sign X Player to your iPad to be able to do this. And they got instructions on how to delete and add and so forth. I was like, whoa. You know, to be able to play a .avi on your iPad is like, did Steve Jobs, like, who knows? But how did they get this through? You know, it's all about MP4, MP3, M4V. And how did they get this through, you know? They're not going to let WMA or WMV files play on the iPad. So how did this one get through? Kind of curious, isn't it? You know, got a nice Mac Pro underneath the desk here. I love my 16 cores when I fire it up and I'm doing video encoding. And of course, you know, it's been a nice machine for a year. And today, the folks at Apple have, of course, made available the long-awaited 12-core machine. So what that means is if you buy the dual chipset, 24 cores of potential processing power. Now, it's not cheap. This is not cheap at all. Oh, it's a 6-core. Let me read this. Yeah, 6-core models. In other words, it's got 2 cores, 12. Yeah, 24. A pair of 6-core Xeons. It's going to set you up the machine pre-configured. It's going to run about, oh my goodness, it looks like about $5,000. So not cheap whatsoever, but you can definitely get ramped up with some serious processing power there. And very, very cool. All right, let me go ahead and switch to the next article here. This is a good one, and it's more of a reflection on some comments that Bill Gates made. Bill Gates expects the web to be the best single source of education within 5 years. And if you think about how, you know, you guys all know, I did all my college courses online and never stepped foot into an actual classroom. Now, some of this math stuff I'm taking right now, I'm paying a penalty to do it at home and not go to the classroom, but my schedule doesn't allow it. So this is with Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, who I'm going to school with, and with Bill Gates saying that the web being the best single source of education, I think within 5 years, I think it already is. You know, you think about the resources that are available online, the ability to go to school online. You still have to pay your tuition, so you have to buy your books. But at some point, for those people that cannot afford to go to school per se, go to a regular institution, I think we're going to find that in a few years, basically, the cost of education it's going to continue to go down when you have the fortitude to do your courses online. For me, the cost to go online versus going to class, really the only thing I save is the gas driving to class, because the course amount is still the same. The per credit hour is the same. But at what point will some company out there say, huh, if I get accreditation and I reduce the price by half of what normal classes cost, would that not entice people to do more online, and would people shift? You know, it costs a lot of money to have brick and mortar. And the college experience per se is obviously something that is good for many people. But for many parents that have to foot that bill, if their kids can go to school for $50,000 over 4 years versus $120,000 over 4 years, I think I know what the solution is. Have them go to school while they're at home, so long as they do it. And you know, I think the education that I got so far has been good or better, because the course level work is harder online than it is in the classroom, and you have to be more dedicated. And, you know, you don't have to worry about being in class in the daytime. You can do it in the middle of the night if you're working a job or something. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But where do you guys think education online is going to go to? Do you think that at some point our failing education system in the United States would go completely online, do K through 12 for the, you know, for elementary, middle school, and high school? Then, you know, will there be a point where the schoolhouse is irrelevant? I don't know. I think it's a lot longer than 5 years away. But I think we're at a point now where people can get as good of an education online as they can by going to a regular institution. But some people will probably say, no. That's, especially your Harvard and your Yale. You know, that comes, you know, that does have some buying power when it comes time to get a job. But ultimately, it's that piece of paper and your networking capabilities that get you a job anyway. Hey, let's get a little fun one here for you. A flight attendant has used an inflatable slide for a dramatic job walkout. If you were on the JetBlue flight that landed at JFK where there was an altercation with a passenger, a flight attendant decided he'd had enough and opened the door, blew the and slide and slid out, walked to his car and left. I'm thinking he will be without a job. I am quite sure that JetBlue will not have him in their employee much longer. I've known there's been sometimes on some flights where I've dealt with some seatmates and stuff that I wish would have, you know, jumped out of a, you know, quite frankly, jumped out of the airplane without any parachute or life raft, but because you believe me, you run into all types. So he'd had enough. Well, you know, if you have to fly through JFK to begin with, that's part of the issue. You go to New York, avoid JFK like the plague. All right, what time is it in your area? Here in Hawaii, it's 2:15, but I'm waiting for really, could have, it's already passed once, but 5:06, 07, 08, 09, 10, right? So probably it was 0500, but it could have been 5 p.m., 6 minutes, 7 seconds on the 8th day of, eighth month of August, 9th day, did I say that right? The 8th month, 9th day, 2010. So kind of a little play here, 8, 9, 10. So that doesn't happen very often when it comes to dates and so forth. So guys on the net have been having a little fun with that. Let's talk about Skype and their potential IPO here. They've announced that they are going to do an initial public offering, and they hope to raise $100 million in their offering. But in their filing, I guess in order to license the software, the peer-to-peer software that Skype uses to, so the underlying technology to make calls possible and the video stuff that we do today, $360 million was what it cost them to litigate that, buy it, license, and the founders walked away with some serious cash. I think $80 million in cash and quite a pretty big percentage of stock. So it was expensive for them to get that underlying technology, but they're that all done, they are ready to do an IPO. So we'll, I would someone sign me up for some of that. I'd like to get in on that IPO. You know, that's the thing that sucks. You have to be this like accredited investor in order to and know someone and have the right connection to be able to get in the offering. I'd love to get on that IPO and grab a little bit of that myself. I think Skype is going to do very well for a lot of years to come. There was a site today launched called TBD, To Be Determined. It was launched in a site specifically designed for Washington, D.C. And it was launched by a previous editor at the Washington Post. And I guess he was an executive editor of the Washington Post in his online unit. But the new startup at TBD.com today launched their new newspaper. And this is an experiment to see how well it goes. I think it's a great idea and a time that has come. And now we have one of those here in Hawaii. So we'll see what happens with this and how it scales and how well they do the news. But those of you that live in the Beltway may be interested, or those of you that are interested in politics and what goes on inside the Beltway, definitely check out TBD.com. Hey, the Register has a good article on talking about what's forthcoming in the Apple space so far as upgraded iPhones, iPads, and the Apple TV. It looks to me like sometime in 2011, we're definitely going to have a new Apple TV with the iOS 4. We've talked about that in the past, but there's a lot of rumors really hitting in that there even could be another iPhone update yet this year. Apparently, the rumor is that they're trying to rush out a new version to overcome the issue with the antenna gate. So we'll see what happens there. But we've already talked about some larger iPads potentially or some smaller ones. So we'll have to keep our eye on this. But article over on the Register. Hey, have you got an iPhone 4 and you're using the AT&T microcell? Well, be aware they're having some issues. Reports are in that, let me see if I can switch this up. This was over on ubergizmo.com. Reports are in that the many users who are using the AT&T 3G microcell are experiencing some form of audio problem. Apparently, the incoming sound was skipped, making it difficult to understand the person that you're talking to. This is all over the AT&T forums today. So if you're having problems with your microcell, love to hear feedback from you as well. How many of you, I haven't been to San Francisco in years, and when I do go to San Francisco, I don't drive. I, you know, take the taxi or whatever. But I guess San Francisco's had parking meters in place for a year that, depending on how many parking spaces are available, the price increases as fewer and fewer spots become available. You can park for as cheap as 25 cents an hour during low volume times, where the meters will start to increase and it costs you as much as $6 an hour. How do you put who carries $6 worth of change around? Do these things have like a place where you can swipe your Visa card or something? Yeah, the new meters will play nice with credit cards. Oh, so you could pay for your parking on the city street with a credit card. How much do those cost? So I've sometimes wished, how many of you went and parked and there's the parking meter looming and you've got like a nickel and change in your car? It's happened to all of us, right? And so you put a nickel in and you try to run to the closest store to get change to put in. We've all done that. So in Japan, you can pay with your cell phone. I guess this is good. But I guess if you want to park on the street, pay $6 an hour, it's probably cheaper than parking in a garage. I know I was parking in a garage in Manhattan one time, and it was like $18 an hour or something ridiculous. So anyway, link will be up in this show notes. You guys can check it out. And can you just imagine walking up there with a 50 cents, think you're going to be able to park for 3 hours, and it says $6, please, for an hour. All right, Android is supposedly next up to get streaming Netflix goodness. And so that's cool. So the Android users, you may be able to watch your favorite Netflix movies on your Android phone. I don't know. What do you think the experience would be like on that? Definitely want to see that in action. But could happen is sometime this year. So they're not saying 2011. They're saying sometime in 2010. This next one you guys are going to get a laugh at. You know, Apple they stopped doing their Apple versus PC, at least I haven't seen any in a long time, ads. But that hasn't stopped Microsoft from keeping a Mac versus PC battle going on the Windows 7 website. According to ArsTechnica.com, they've added a PC versus Mac section to its Windows 7 website. The web page is under the Compare tab, where users can match up to the three main Windows 7 editions, read a top 10 list, and then do a comparison on Apple in a number of categories. And one of the things I had to laugh at says, Macs might spoil your fun. There are some things you simply can't do out of the box with a Mac, like watch, pause, rewind, and record TV like a DVR. That is absolutely the truth. Definitely no Windows Media Center built into the Mac. That's why Apple has the Apple TV, which failed. So we'll see what happens when they come out with the iOS 4 version of that. Maybe, but still, you have to still buy a separate device. Now, someone that's watching the show or listening to the show is going to say, Todd, well, you can download this as an application and make your Mac do that. That's true, but Microsoft is saying out of the box it can't do that. So you guys know I'm a Windows and a Mac. I'm a hybrid. hey, you don't have to worry if the feds or the police put a GPS tracking device on your car. You can almost be assured that you have bigger problems to worry about, because now the courts have ruled that the police cannot superstitiously putting a stick GPS unit on your car and track your movements without a warrant. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia has ruled in an opinion published last Friday. Court said that police use a GPS device. The police used a GPS device to convict two individuals was a violation of their Fourth Amendment rights. And I don't know if this means these guys get out of jail or not, but which kind of sounds like it does, but the EFF, ACLU have all applauded this decision, saying that it's one thing to follow a car, but it's quite another to put a tracking device on it. So they will have to have a warrant to do that from here on out. There's a good article on CNET. As a matter of fact, there's a great interview. And when you guys go over here, this is what I want you to do. I have this article from CNET linked up, and it's basically Bill Gates was at a conference where he was talking about Moore's Law, talking about advances in science and a lot of medical stuff, and talking about modeling. So a CNET reporter was able to get in the limo and interview Bill from the wherever he was at in Lake Tahoe, the 3 or 4 minutes to the airport. But what I really want you to look at in the video is notice what Bill isn't doing in the car and what he hasn't. And I don't want to give it away because I want you guys to look for it. It's a YouTube video. It's linked in the article. But I specifically want you to watch the video and tell me what Bill isn't doing that he should, considering he is a billionaire. definitely check it out. And I have a link up in the show notes. Really, the article wasn't worth that much for me to share with you, but the video has something in there that made me go, huh. And you'll figure it out real quick if you pay attention to what Bill's doing in the video. I have that linked up to you. Email me at geeknews@gmail.com if you catch on, or call the voicemail hotline and let me know what your thoughts are on what Bill isn't doing in the video, okay? Hey, TechCrunch reported over the weekend that it appears Apple has put in an order for a huge number of millions of CDMA chips from who makes the CDMA stuff? I think that is Qualcomm. Yeah, Qualcomm. They put in and this is basically Qualcomm reported in their financial earnings this, basically something with showing that there was multiple millions of units being ordered, which is the telltale signs that the iPhone is more than likely coming to Verizon, because the CDMA chips are needed to run on the Verizon network. So pretty exciting. How many of you got a car that has one of those tire pressure monitors built in? I didn't know that it was a federal law that the all cars built since 2008 have to have these tire pressure sensors. And they're basically what it is they put a special type of RFID chip in your wheel that has a pressure sensor that when it's basically queried by the vehicle, it reports back the tire pressure. Well, tire pressure monitor systems could reveal driver location. So I got to thinking about this a little bit. And the thing that's kind of scary here is these, you know, of course, I'm really thinking conspiracy now. These detectors can be intercepted by a third party as far as 130 feet away. So, in, let's say, 10 more years, when the majority of the vehicles on the road will be a 2008 or older, I mean, of course, the way the economy is, maybe not. But, you know, let's look ahead 10 years, and they've got these RFID tags. All the government has to do is build sensors into the road that reads these RFID chips at different locations, and they'd be able to really come up with a pretty impressive daily tracking record of what you and I are doing on the highways and byways. If the sensor IDs were captured at a roadside tracking point and stored in databases, third parties could infer or prove that the driver had visited potentially sensitive locations such as medical clinics, political meetings, nightclubs. Interesting, right? What have I been talking about for a while? Now, I don't want to get conspiracy theorist on us, but lots of things on and around our persons that are potentially able to track us. Are you a heavy sleeper? I am. You can drive a freight train through my backyard and I won't wake up. On the other hand, my wife, you know, if a bird quacks too loud outside, she wakes up. And there's been some scientific study done on why some people can sleep with trains running through the backyard and other people wake up at the lightest sound. And they've narrowed it down to some brain activity. And they don't know if it's good or bad, those of us that are deep sleepers. But it is kind of curious here. What do they call them? They're saying that it's called sleep spindles. Now, whatever that, you know, don't even ask me to go into it. But those that have more sleep spindles are the ones that are the heaviest sleepers. I've always said, because, you know, I've used my brain at 90% potential for, you know, 20 hours of the day, and the 4 hours I sleep, it just shuts down. But I know. Don't even go there. So had to throw that in there just for fun. GreenCarReports.com is talking about hybrids, and they tested 16 vehicles. All right, now, you buy a hybrid, and you think over the life of the vehicle that you should be able to save a lot of money, right? It should pay for itself. Well, historically, there has been no payback, especially given the cheap gasoline prices. Well, I wouldn't call them cheap, but the gas prices we're paying currently. But there was a study done in British Columbia that looked at hybrids that were being driven and used, where there was the owners were paying roughly $3.70 a gallon for fuel. And of the 16 vehicles tested, you would be very surprised at the vehicle that actually paid for itself over time. Do you think it's the 2010 Toyota Prius? Mm-mm. What it turns out is it's the 2010 Mercedes-Benz S400 hybrid, which is a mild hybrid version of the large, pricey, prestigious full-size luxury car that the Mercedes-Benz makes. They're saying it costs about $5,000 less over 5 years than its counterpart with a gasoline engine. So I think part of that probably has to do with cost, right? But the hybrids that impose the smallest cost premium over other gasoline equivalents were three Toyotas, Prius, Camry Hybrid, Highlander Hybrid, along with the Lexus HS250H. And then Honda's pair of 2010 hybrids and Insight and Civic hybrid were, again, the smallest cost premium over their gasoline equivalent. So very, very cool article here. So if you're thinking about buying a hybrid and you think you're going to get your money back, you may want to think again. Obviously, maybe just buy it because you're going to buy green. But just remember, you are not getting money back. It isn't worth the additional cost of the hybrid. You're using less fuel, so you're being a good eco-citizen, but it is not saving you money. Okay? All right. Stephen Hawking, gotta love this guy. You know, the man is obviously probably near genius status, and he has a warning for all of us. And, you know, I think about this a little bit. He's probably right. He says, warning, abandon Earth or face extinction. And he's got a pretty good write-up here. He says, even if humans manage to avoid a nuclear standoff for the next thousands of years, our fate on this planet is still pretty much certain. University of Sussex astrophysicist Dr. Robert Smith says, eventually, the aging sun will accelerate global warming to a point where all of Earth's water will simply evaporate. Life on Earth will have disappeared long before 7.6 billion years, says Smith. And this is basically people supporting Stephen Hawking's assertions. Stephen Hawking says, time to free ourselves from Mother Earth. I believe that the long-term future of the human race must be in space. It will be difficult enough to avoid disaster on planet Earth the next 100 years, let alone the next thousands or million. The human race shouldn't have all of its eggs in one basket or on one planet. Let's hope we can avoid dropping the basket until we spread the load. Good idea, hard to implement. We got to get a lot smarter in the next 100 years to make that happen. If you're up in Canada going to school, you may soon have to pay $45 a year just for accessing copyrighted materials and copying it. Yes, the equivalent of the ASCAP up there are trying to impose some additional fees on students going to college. So my parents may have to fork over $45 more. The Discovery Channel is cracking down on a fan site. It's called The Deadliest Catch. You guys watch that? I've watched that show quite a bit. And but here's where two hands aren't talking to each other. Discovery Channel actually sent emails to the admin of that site saying, hey, I work for Discovery Channel, writing to offer you free preview content assets from the newest season of Deadliest Catch. We feel the show is a great fit with your site. So it goes on and accolades, and giving them access to data. Then they got an email from the lawyers at Discovery saying, take this site down or we will sue you into oblivion. When they questioned Discovery about the letter they'd gotten from one folks to the letter they got from the lawyers, Discovery said that the employee was no longer at Discovery and they were looking into this. The second lawyer that they spoke to stated they had a change of heart and have now decided they want to police any site using their material, although previously they were providing it for promotion purposes. A little damage control going on, so we'll see if they stay on the air. So really, the question is, what's being abused on Discovery? They're giving them promo stuff. They're giving everyone else. Where's the copyright violation at, really? I got a good one about this. They called the House of Representatives back to vote on this act. Did you know that they didn't file the name of the act when they actually submitted it for a vote? So Congress is about to pass the blank act of blank. Yeah, they didn't actually name it, and it was already put into the congressional record and whatever. So it appears that they're going to have a bill. This bill they're going to vote on is going to be called the XXXXX Act of XXX, and that in order to rename it, they're going to have to resend it back through and get it revoted on or whatever. And this has been that bill that's changed five different ways to Sunday. So even though they're going back and they're naming it by whatever they're calling it today, it's really officially called the blank act of blank. So they should remember to name stuff before they submit it for whatever their process is. Okay. And I got a thoroughly disgusting article here, and I'm going to have to stop the articles, but I'm going to run long here. But a day in the life of legalized extortion and how the BMI shake down companies and businesses. This is the read of the day, folks. This is an article run Tech Dirt. A day in the life of legalized extortion, and it's how BMI is shaking down folks. And there's the article on Tech Dirt, and then there's a full article in the New York Times. I'll have those both up. Read them both. And got a couple things here on jailbreaking and what Apple's trying to do to prevent people from jailbreaking phones in their stores. A little bit on the International Space Station spacewalk. Where's that noise coming from? And one last thing here. We'll skip that. But anyway, they're going to do another spacewalk tomorrow and try to finish fixing up the International Space Station. I got a couple of voicemails here. We'll get into those, and then we'll get into the emails again. If you have comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Here comes the, and you guys are going to love this. This is our good friend Brian, and he's got a comment for us on the Verizon Google deal. Here's you guys don't know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Brian, with your deep voice, kick it off.
Hey, Todd, it's Brian in Brooklyn here. You can just disregard that voice-to-text message you got last week. That was me. I was testing something out, guinea-pigging with your voicemail. This Evo phone I got, the HTC Evo, it has a voicemail system that delivers your voicemail as a file.
Right.
It's interesting. There's a little player you can rewind and skip around your message, and it allows you to pre-record voice messages and then send it to multiple recipients, either from email or your email contacts or your phone contacts. So I was just curious how it would handle a voicemail service. Anyway, yeah, disregard. How about this proposal between Verizon and Google? Verizon and Google are going to decide for us, decide how we access the internet. Don't you feel a little left out?
I do.
When these mega, too-big-to-fail corporations do these kind of things without telling you, it's not as quite as insulting, you know. But when they let you know up front, it's like General Motors and ExxonMobil deciding what highways we're going to get tolls and where, what the speed limits are going to be. Where are they going to add additional traffic lanes? As if your opinion doesn't matter one bit. You know, what town gets an off-ramp to access their goods and services? And the whole time, the Department of Transportation is just sitting there acting stupid. Like, what can we do about it? But Verizon says wireline services won't be affected.
Right.
So if in a few years they let their DSL service degenerate to kind of an unusable condition, and then they put something like a Wi-Fi router on the pole out in front and say, we're discontinuing our DSL service, but we got a new, better service. But it's wireless, so the rules say we'll have to be prioritizing traffic. What do you think? Book them, Dano.
Hey, Brian, thanks for that. Yeah, you know, it's, as I said, they're behind the closed door stuff. Came to new fruition. They couldn't do any work. But yet today, there's a statement out by Google and Verizon, right? Interesting, dear Watson. Interesting. All right, got an email here. I mean, a voicemail from Trucker Tom. We'll play that and then get into the comments on the emails, comments for the show.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. First off, I want to give you a big congratulations on making it to episode 600. It's always a wonderful thing to see early podcasters continuing to podcast because a lot of people have kind of faded away. Secondly, I thought it was kind of funny, you know, you mentioned, I guess it was next to the last podcast, the $70 device that basically turns your iPad into a refrigerator magnet. And final thing I wanted to comment on, you had a guy, a voicemail guy call in and was saying he was having problems pairing his, I believe it was a Bose headset to his iPhone. Now, a lot of people don't realize this. There are some Bluetooth devices that you must unpair with the old device. If you had, let's say you had the Bose headset, let's say he had his Bose headset paired with another device, it may well be that he has to go back to that device and unpair it before he can pair it to his iPhone. Anyhow, keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Hey, Tom, thanks for the call, and thanks for the, you know, the shout out for show 600. I definitely appreciate it. And as far as the advice to the listener that was having trouble with his Bluetooth, that is a good one. I do remember some devices being like that. So thanks for excuse me, for the heads up. And I could tell you were rolling down the highway there, so be safe out there in your drivings across greater America. All right, got an email here from Frank. He said, "Hey, Todd, this site was recommended to me by a security tech. It's supercircuits.com. At the time, I was thinking of hanging cameras and connecting them to a DVR, but never got around to it because my teenager grew up. Two recommendations from the same tech. The best way to secure the DVR is to place it somewhere unexpected and concealed, such as a crawl space, then to network it to a computer for operations. If it can be seen, it can be disabled and destroyed. Make sure to use low-light cameras. They will also work in the daytime. Day cameras will not effectively work at night." He says the PT Zilt cameras are not necessary so long as cameras are placed carefully. Plus, in a home setup, nobody normally mans monitors to control the cameras. I agree, Frank. And so far as the placing the DVR that's going to record your security cameras, here's the tricky part. Make sure you put the DVR in a place, obviously crawl space or something like that, but also an area where it's going to get enough air. Those things have a tendency to get hot. They've got hard drives in them, and usually crawl spaces are not cool. So you got to have enough air to it. At the same time, have it someplace hid. That way, when the crooks get in, they just don't take the DVR with them and leave you with no content. Many security providers will actually record a couple of streams for you via the internet if you want to do that as well. But that's definitely not do-it-yourself. Also got a question by Frankie. He said, everyone says, he basically was asking me about why I say lower 48 or the continental United States. If you do what is the continental United States, it's generally referred to the lower 48. And if you do a Google search, what is the lower 48? Again, it's the lower 48 United States. And even though technically Hawaii is more south than the lower 48, we're definitely not attached to North America. So... no, not by 2,395 miles, as we're quite detached. So that is why everyone uses that here. Got an email from Bruce. It says, "Hey, Todd, I've used GoDaddy promo code several times now. Thank you for offering those. I was curious how you made them, though. I don't see anything in the affiliate website that explains how to make your custom promo codes like you have." Bruce, no can do. You cannot make a custom code. This is because of our affiliation and our working with GoDaddy. We're able to get codes really that are available if we ask for them. Again, I've got, you know, that handful of them on the GoDaddy.com/promos, GoDaddy, GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, where there's also all the codes that we have. But if you're a podcaster or a new media creator and you want to get in on a GoDaddy advertising, just let me know. I can help you out with that, okay? Terrence said, "Todd, if you're still looking for a suggestion to possible change the gene..." Oh, this is the show number 600 suggestion. Terrence said, "If you're still looking for suggestions for possible changes to the GNC podcast, I would say as long as you plan to keep it primarily an audio podcast, you should stick pretty close to your present format. You're going stronger than ever after 600 shows, so you must be doing something right. If you plan to make it more appealing for video, I think you need to consider some changes. An hour and 15 minutes show is just too long for me, and I expect others to make time for, especially twice a week. It's much easier to consume an audio show on a personal media device that you can start and stop as needed." It really, and what it, he goes on here talking about how we would watch the video would be kind of on and off. And we know, Terrence, that that's how people are consuming the content. They will be doing something on their laptop. I'll say something. They'll look up at the screen. Like now, those of you are looking up at the screen, you're looking up at the screen because I just basically said, look up at the screen. And in a few seconds, you're going to continue looking at your laptop because, oh, it's nothing important. So that's how people are consuming the content on the Roku devices. And it's the way we're consuming TV today mostly as well. So thanks for that, Terrence. I got an email from Frank. He says, "Hey, I heard about your rant about net neutrality on Friday's podcast. I agree with you completely. ISPs should serve as pipe, not as filters. Here's an email I got from Internet Interest Group that is on the site of net neutrality. I submit for your consideration. If you approve, please publicize it. Gene, of course, your pipe." Don't worry, Frank. Hey, I'll put the link up in the show notes here. And great link. And thanks for providing it to me. I just put it up in the show notes today. I think that was it for email. Got one here on stunning Aurora videos from Marino. I'll put that up in the show notes. And yeah, that was it. But let's talk about the other show, 600 Ideas. The other one, the next one came in back on June 30th. He says, first of all, let me say I love the show and listen. And this was from Christopher Nichols. He said, first of all, let me say I love your show and listen whenever I can on my Android Void using Beyond Pod to catch the feed each week. Two things I'd love to see a bit more. Volume, which we've already done. We've increased the volume, so that, Christopher, should be fixed. Compared to Leo's shows, your comes off a bit softer. I know that you want to avoid your explosives and come in not too hot, but I have to crank up the volume. The second is entirely up to you, but in my opinion, I love roundtable decisions. There's nothing wrong with a solo broadcast, but it sometimes come off as preachy, even for the best podcasters out there with at least a single co-host. There's a bit of an action fleshing out of ideas and opinions that you don't get with a single show host. Yeah, and again, it's part of the challenge here is being in Hawaii and normally my nighttime recording schedule. If I was doing during the daytime like this, every time it'd be no problem to bring in someone from time to time. And the other 600 show suggestion, of course, came from Sam. So one thing I'd see change the most, we talked about this last show, is a more attractive newsletter. And he sent me a link to what he thought the newsletter should look like. And we'll definitely work on that, Sam. I think that'll be one of the things we'll implement. We've implemented a much louder audio file. And we've also implemented, what else was the other thing here? Yeah, I think that was it. And we're staying with pretty much the same format. So that's it. Everyone, thanks for hanging out with me. It's been a blast, 600 shows. Hey, we'll be back with you Thursday from the West Coast where I'll be doing show 601. And I'll be probably coming on about, if everything works out right, I'll be on around 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And so that's what time I will be coming up live for those of you that want to watch live. And then I'll be back here in the studio the following week for two regular shows at the normally recorded time. And then I'm going out to San Francisco for an event out there the following week for actually the Set-Top Box Conference. It's a two-day event in San Jose. So actually it's 3 days with travel. So a little bit of travel over the next couple of weeks. But the main thing, actually I got a trip to the East Coast too. So that's on the week of the 23rd. But thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Hano. Thanks for hanging out with me at the beginning of the show where I just kind of talked about the show itself and where we've been. And without you guys, it really would not be possible. Thanks for staying subscribed to the podcast feed. And those of you that are watching or listening, make sure you get subscribed. That's the important thing so you never miss a single episode. Comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, again, is 619-342-7365. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. And aloha. One second, folks. Oh, my phone's ringing. That was perfect timing.